You are listening to the Primitive Intelligence Podcast, episode 503. Today, we shift our focus towards the perils that lurk within the realm of artificial intelligence. Delving into the depths of this ever-evolving technology, we uncover the singular pronouns of AI's dark side, exploring the ethical dilemmas, privacy concerns, and the potential loss of human autonomy. Prepare to be captivated as we navigate through the treacherous terrain of AI's pitfalls and shed light on the imperative need for responsible development and regulation. That's one heck of an intro. I'm going to be completely honest with you. I had AI write that. Interesting. My research took me a different direction than I was expecting. So we're going to look into this. I was originally planning on this to be a little bit more of a fun exercise in looking at AI, and it turned into another round of me watching a congressional hearing. So we can go into that. I guess there's really nothing to do but to get into it. The Primitive Intelligence Podcast, AI Inception, starts now. Artificial intelligence. It's not new. It's well known now. It's more well known now than it has been for quite some time. And there's a lot of talk about how AI is going to either revolutionize or destroy the world. The first things that pop into people's minds when you hear artificial intelligence are things like Skynet or the Matrix. I'm going to lose my job to AI, and it's evolving faster and faster, and we can't keep up with it. And that, I was going to kind of look at that side of it, and that's why I start looking at it initially. But then it took a whole different turn. I started messing around with ChatGPT and AutoGPT. I've been using DaVinci to come up with the artwork for the episodes. For this, for Primitive Intelligence, as well as for Hike Files for the season. And what I was learning is it's helpful, it's interesting, but it is far from perfect. Now, for the artwork, the text art, some of that is really good, and some of it's just garbage. Depending on how well you prompt it, it can be better, but sometimes you can use the same prompt and just tell it to recreate and recreate and recreate. And it might show you 15 different pictures and only one of them is really any good. So it's not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. Now I'm talking all consumer grade AI, you know, what you can get on your phone or on a website. I'm sure big corporations have a lot better computing power, you know, and they're able to do better things. Now, when you really think about it, AI in our lives has been around for over a decade, easily. If you think Siri is basically an AI. Before Siri, Google had what was called voice actions. I'm trying to remember how far back that went. I think Android 2.0, I think, is when they first launched it. I don't know if it was on Android 1, but it didn't talk back to you. It wasn't very interactive, but you could hit a button on your phone and say, take a note or note to self, send an email, open this app, and it would do it. It wasn't fantastic, but it would do it. So in a way, that was kind of the forerunner of AI. I'm sure I'm missing something. So if you're really into the AI and you're like, no, there was this one that was back in the 70s. I'm sure there was something before that, but I'm talking consumer facing, what you would have in your hand. That was probably, and it wasn't even all that smart. It wasn't really an AI, but it was kind of the lead up to what we have now. When you look at Siri and you look at all these different apps, Google Assistant and Alexa and Nest and all these smart devices, these are little baby steps in AI. And now you've got these large language models like ChatGPT and Google's Bard. And well, here's another one. You remember IBM's Watson played Jeopardy? Was a contestant on Jeopardy? that was a one of the early AIs, and that was a fairly advanced early AI. But they're not perfect. And looking at things like ChatGPT and all these things, and I thought, there's such a spread when you see in reality how these things actually operate. Now, that opening that I had AutoGPT create, I also had ChatGPT try to create too. I did four different ones. Now, I'm not going to read them all. AutoGPT is based on ChatGPT. It's just got plugins and some different modules that allow it to do different things. The problem I was having with the first three instances was that it just wanted to, as soon as you put in podcast, it almost assumed multiple hosts. And I know a lot of podcasts have more than one host. So everything was we and us and, you know, join us and as we and all that. And I had the third one, which I kind of liked the wording to. And I told it to recreate it, but to use singular pronouns. And it rewrote it to what I read in the beginning. But it actually, I almost took it out because I'm like, well, that I could say this without it sounding weird. It says we uncover the singular pronouns of AI's dark side. It makes zero sense. And that is part of the problem with AI, is it doesn't always give you truthfulness. But then again, neither do people. ChatGPT and the current, what they call generative AIs, my notes from everything I tested over the past few days, you think I'd have a ton of notes. I've got one line. Interesting and helpful to an extent, but his database is limited. Meaning, it's not real. It can't generate anything on its own. It has to go to this database. So you do get a lot of repetitiveness. These four lead-ins for the podcast are all very similar, even though they're done with two different AIs based on the same models, but it's all very similar. And I gave it a pretty vague, prompt. Just create an opening for a podcast that's talking about the dangers of AI. That was it. I didn't, the last one I said, using singular pronouns, and I told it to start with, you are listening to the Primitive Intelligence Podcast. But I mean, it's interesting. I wouldn't have written anything like that. I wouldn't have started the podcast like that. So it really has no imagination, which it's AI. So you wouldn't think that it would have imagination. Is it ready to take over the world? Not in its current form. But in thinking that, that's why I started to go towards the idea of, let me get together some of these stories where AI has taken the reins, so to speak, and made up its own mind and maybe made a decision that it shouldn't have made. Now, I think we've all heard of Tesla's AI and her self-driving cars doing its own things. And I don't know much about that. And you never really know what side of the story you're getting with any of those. But the big story lately has been this robot that deactivated itself after 15 minutes of labor. So I looked into that. I'm like, that's going to be a cool story. Let me get the video. I won't show the video. I don't want to copyright anything, but I'll watch the video and I'll get some information from it and see what the company said and see how they found out that it decided on its own accord that life wasn't worth living if I'm doing this menial labor, and it deactivated itself. And then, the headline that I wrote for it was, surprise, AI robot Digit did not deactivate itself after 15 minutes of labor. And it actually didn't. It did not. Here's what happened. The company that made this robot, and it's an AI-powered bipedal robot, and they were at the ProMat trade show in Chicago. The company's called Agility Robotics, and they made this robot called Digit. They admit that Digit fell a few times during its demonstration at the ProMat trade show in Chicago, but it performed for over 20 hours with a 99% success rate. And from what I read very briefly, that it was the actual robot itself that failed, not the AI, not its GPU, CPU, nothing like that. The structure of the robot failed. It was basically taking totes off of a shelf, turning around, putting them on a conveyor like it would in a warehouse. And there's different layers of shelves, and I'm not sure how it was programmed to do that or what it was told in order to do that. But the actual legs were failing, and then it would fall down. And they had to go out and replace the legs, and then it would continue on. And they did this for 20 hours. So it didn't work for 15 minutes and say, this is bullshit, I'm shutting down. That didn't happen. But that immediately put an end to my search into AI stories of it becoming sentient and doing its own thing, because that didn't happen. What the one story I read on this stated that the initial tweet or X or whatever they're calling it now, whatever, the original post about the robot falling down and deactivating itself was meant as a joke, and then people just ran with it, and it just took on a life of its own. So you can't believe everything ChatGPT tells you, but you also can't believe everything that people tell you. So how far off is AI from humanity? So I do have information on the congressional hearing on AI, but before I get into that, I'm going to play a pre-recorded segment that I did where I interviewed ChatGPT. I realized it would be very boring for me just to type in the questions, read the answers off to you, and I mean, anybody could do that. I want to make this a little more fun. So I not only used AI to answer the questions, but I then used Amazon AWS's service called Polly, P-O-L-L-Y, which is a text-to-voice generator that uses neuro-linguistic language models or something like that to create a very human-like voice. It took a lot of steps to do. I had to type in the questions, get the answers, copy them over, download the audio clip, put it into my video editor, then record me asking the questions, edit in the answers, and go on. It's a little clunky, but I think it turned out okay. So we're just going to jump right into the interview with ChatGPT. Thank you for joining me, I guess, on this interview. How are you doing today?
I don't have personal experiences or emotions, but I'm here and ready to assist you with any questions or tasks you have. How can I help you today?
Okay. As an AI, how are your systems operating today?
I'm functioning as usual, ready to help you with any questions or tasks you have. My systems are designed to provide accurate and relevant information to the best of my knowledge and abilities. Is there something specific you'd like to know or discuss?
Do you think AI will eventually make humans irrelevant?
The question of whether AI will make humans irrelevant is a complex and debated topic. It's important to note that AI, in its current and foreseeable state, lacks the full range of human cognitive abilities, emotions, and consciousness. While AI systems have shown impressive capabilities in narrow domains, they still struggle with broader understanding, common sense reasoning, and genuine creativity. AI is designed to complement human abilities, enhance productivity, and automate certain tasks. It has the potential to revolutionize industries, improve healthcare, streamline logistics, and more. However, the idea of AI rendering humans entirely irrelevant is met with skepticism by many experts. Humans possess unique qualities like empathy, intuition, moral judgment, and a broad understanding of context that AI struggles to replicate. Additionally, the ethical, societal, and philosophical implications of creating entities that could surpass human intelligence raise important questions about control, accountability, and the preservation of human values. In short, while AI can certainly change the way we work and live, the complete replacement of humans by AI is not a widely supported notion. Instead, a more balanced view suggests that AI and humans can work together in symbiosis, with AI augmenting human capabilities and freeing us to focus on tasks that require emotional intelligence, creativity, and complex decision-making.
What should be done, if anything, about AI image generators that use human art as inspiration without the necessary permissions from the artists? Summed up in a sentence or two.
Addressing the use of AI image generators inspired by human art without proper permissions involves respecting artists' intellectual property, fostering ethical AI development, promoting collaboration, and considering legal frameworks to ensure a balance between technological innovation and artistic rights.
Okay. Should AI have artistic rights?
The question of whether AI should have artistic rights is complex and debated. As of now, AI lacks consciousness and emotions integral to human artistry. While some argue for legal protections for AI-generated works, current discussions focus more on human creators and ethical considerations, rather than assigning rights to AI itself.
Moving on from rights, let's dive into something a little deeper. Do you think AI will ever gain a soul?
AI, being a product of programming and algorithms, lacks the capacity for consciousness and subjective experiences associated with having a soul as understood in philosophical and religious contexts.
But briefly, is it possible that AI could at some point grow beyond its programming?
AI systems operate based on their programming and algorithms, and their capabilities are determined by their design. While AI can adapt and improve within predefined parameters, the idea of AI spontaneously growing beyond its programming is not supported by current understanding. Any advancements or changes in AI's abilities would result from intentional human development and technological progress rather than an autonomous evolution beyond its original programming.
On the topic of evolution, can you briefly tell me if you think human evolution is probable? Or do you think humans are created by a higher power?
The question of human evolution versus creation by a higher power is a deeply philosophical and often contentious one. The theory of evolution, supported by a substantial body of scientific evidence, posits that humans and other species have evolved over millions of years through natural processes. This perspective does not necessarily exclude the presence of a higher power, as some individuals integrate their religious beliefs with the concept of evolution. Ultimately, whether one believes in human evolution or creation by a higher power is a matter of personal belief, and there are a wide range of perspectives on this topic that encompass science, philosophy, and faith.
Okay. So for the last, well, second to the last question, I'll make this one a little more simple and a little more fun. Yes or no, is it possible for you to write an ASCII art of a duck?
Yes. Here's a simple ASCII art representation of a duck for you. I hope you like it.
And it did actually make me an ASCII representation of a duck. I'll put it up here. If you're not watching the video, look in the show notes or go over to primitiveintelligence.com. And I'll have a picture of the duck up there. Then for the final question, I kind of changed this a little bit, what it gave me, because it was very complex. The question was, can you write three paragraphs for the podcast on the dangers of AI? And it did. It gave me three paragraphs and an introduction. And I changed two things. One, it just said podcast name. So I put in there this AI generated segment for the Primitive Intelligence podcast. I put that line in where it says podcast name, and where it separates the paragraphs, it said, literally said paragraph one, paragraph two, paragraph three. So I changed paragraph to part just to make it flow a little better. But this is ChatGPT's three paragraphs on the dangers of AI as read by Amazon's neuro-linguistic text-to-speech poly AI.
Introduction. Welcome to this thought-provoking, AI-generated segment of the Primitive Intelligence podcast. In an era defined by remarkable technological advancements, one topic looms large in both excitement and apprehension: artificial intelligence. While AI has undoubtedly transformed numerous aspects of our lives, from automation to healthcare, it's crucial to recognize and address the potential dangers that come hand in hand with this incredible innovation. In today's episode, we'll delve deep into the multifaceted realm of AI, exploring its risks, ethical implications, and the urgent need for responsible development. Part 1: Unintended Consequences and Bias. The rapid evolution of AI systems has brought to light a concerning reality: the potential for unintended consequences and algorithmic bias. As AI becomes increasingly intertwined with our decision-making processes, it's essential to comprehend that these systems learn from vast datasets, often inheriting the biases present in the data. This can lead to automated decisions that perpetuate societal inequalities and prejudices, amplifying existing biases in areas such as criminal justice, hiring practices, and loan approvals. The danger lies in creating a world where biased decisions are masked under the guise of objective AI, ultimately entrenching discrimination and deepening societal divisions. Part 2: Automation and Job Displacement. Another pressing concern revolves around the widespread automation driven by AI. While automation promises increased efficiency and productivity, it also threatens to displace a significant portion of the workforce. The very technology designed to make our lives easier could inadvertently lead to job loss on an unprecedented scale, potentially causing economic instability and social upheaval. It's crucial to consider the ethical implications of implementing AI-driven automation without a comprehensive plan to reskill and upskill workers whose jobs might be at risk. Neglecting this aspect could exacerbate inequality and create a growing divide between those who benefit from AI's advancements and those left behind in its wake. Part 3: Ethical Dilemmas and Control. The ethical dilemmas posed by AI are complex and far-reaching. As AI systems become more sophisticated, questions about control, accountability, and transparency become increasingly pertinent. Imagine a scenario where advanced AI systems autonomously make life-altering decisions, from medical diagnoses to autonomous vehicles' actions. Who bears responsibility when things go wrong? Can we trust AI to navigate morally gray situations with the nuance and empathy that humans possess? The challenge lies in establishing guidelines, regulations, and frameworks that ensure AI operates within defined ethical boundaries, safeguarding human values and preventing the concentration of power in the hands of a few technological giants. In this episode, we'll unravel these dangers and delve into potential solutions that can pave the way for a harmonious coexistence between humanity and AI. Stay tuned as we explore the intricate interplay between innovation and responsibility, and delve into the steps we must take to ensure a future where AI benefits all of humanity.
So like I said, it was an interesting experiment. It's a little clunky, and it's clearly AI that's answering the questions. Having said that, though, as this gets more realistic, it starts to bring up some other questions. And that's what brought me to this congressional hearing on AI. Interestingly enough, I watched this after I did that interview. And in the opening comments for this congressional hearing, Senator Blumenthal, chairman of this committee, he does his opening comments for a couple seconds. And then there's audio playing. And it kind of sounded like him. You could tell it was recorded. It was opening comments. He basically went to ChatGPT and said, write an opening to a hearing in the style of Senator Blumenthal. They specially trained it on his voice and his appearances in other hearings. And it made a pretty decent opening statement. And it did bring up some concerns for him because he thought it was great because it actually touched on some things that he would have talked about, and that was fine. And it gave a pretty decent opening remark in his voice. But what if it said, what if it, that was used for something more devious, like to endorse, he says, like endorse the surrender of the Ukraine or to endorse a government that he shouldn't be endorsing? Would, if it was just audio, if it was done right, would people be able to tell? And this brings you into things like deep fakes, where they can make video look, it looks like the person, it sounds like the person. And I believe this is one of the things that the writers and actors are striking on right now, that AI can write scripts and they can deep fake actors and actresses into movies without their consent, and it's causing issues. So unlike the UAP interviews, the UAP session, all I have on this are interesting takeaways. There was a lot of stuff talked about. The UAP committee, those were military guys. They answered succinctly. They had everything. They knew what they were going to say. And it was very easy to, you know, you got definite answers from them, and it was very methodical. This was a little more like herding cats comparatively. It was a very, very interesting congressional hearing. I definitely suggest, if you're interested in AI, watching that, but you got to set aside about 3 hours. It is long. So some of the interesting takeaways. So the people they had in this one for their witnesses were Sam Altman, the founder of OpenAI, ChatGPT, Christina Montgomery, who works for IBM and everything AI. She has a lot of other credentials. I didn't write them all down. And then Professor Gary Marcus, who I think he wrote the AI that wound up becoming Uber, got bought by Uber. I think that's what they said. He's a scientist and an author who writes a lot about AI. And the opening comments were very vanilla, except for his. He absolutely trashes AI. Absolutely trashes AI, but in the kindest possible way. Like this is it's a great thing, but it is such a bad thing. And I didn't get any quotes from that, because I just was listening to it and I was like, this guy's a witness for AI? Wow. So let's go through to some of these. Altman made a really good point of saying that people need to remember that things like ChatGPT are tools and not creatures. And I think that's what happens a lot right now with what we're seeing with the AI's going to take over the world. It's not sentient. It's not a living thing yet. It's a tool. It's a collection of algorithms and programs and databases, and it answers questions based on that. Humans like to assign human attributes to non-human things, and that can be dangerous sometimes. Professor Marcus shared concerns of not generative AI that we have now, but what they call general AI, more like human, more closer to sentience. And he shared concerns that AGI will eliminate jobs maybe within 50 years. Not saying it won't create jobs, but it will definitely have an impact. Marcus and Altman, I don't think they had ever really met before from what I heard. They may have been in similar circles, but never really. They were sitting next to each other in this hearing. So they got a little more closer time. And Marcus turns to Altman, and he was answering a question to one of the senators. And then he kind of put it to Altman, like, I'd love to know what his biggest fear of AI is. To which they allowed Altman to reply. And he says that his biggest fear of AI is that not the AI itself, but the companies, the people involved, the technology itself causes significant harm to the world. And that's why he's there, and he wants to work with the government and the other industries, the other companies, the other people involved to make sure that doesn't happen. And I thought that was really, it showed a little bit of Altman. And like, he even in here mentions that I don't think he makes any money for OpenAI. That's not, he does that just because he likes AI. He believes in AI and what it can do, and he wants to make sure it's brought to the people in a broad form, but responsibly. And that really came across as being sincere. One of the things that they all spoke about, Marcus Altman and Montgomery, is that you can't just have a service that's running AI where people don't know they're dealing with AI. You have to be informed that it's an AI. And if they don't want to deal with the AI, they have to have an easy way to be transferred to an actual person, which I wish they'd do with phone prompts. That'd be very nice if they did that. Concern exists that even the AI that we have now is capable of changing people's opinions and could predict public opinion in advance, allowing people to fine-tune strategies to get the response they want in things like elections and corporations being able to use AI to keep your eyes glued to an ad, knowing behavioral patterns and being able to do this on the fly. They've seen Congress and these three witnesses seem concerned about that. I think it was Professor Marcus, who called it hyper-targeting of advertising, and he said it's kind of happening already. There was a kind of a call, kind of by all three, to have a global organization, they said like CERN, something like that, to regulate AI, make sure that all countries that are creating AI are following the same set of rules, so you don't have one country doing it in a kind of a more moral way, and then another country can just send their AI to people in completely immoral ways and really cause problems. Things like they talked a little bit about copyright and trademark and being able to use like deepfake, use someone's likeness or their voice, physical likeness or their voice. You got to be given consent to use that. And they're trying to figure out how to get that implemented. Another topic we talked about was news generated by AI. And they kind of talked about, the senator that asked them was like, well, how are we going to make sure that in the future, AI isn't going to be taking news from small outlets and then putting it back out there and then adding in false information? They all agree that that is a horrible thing and it shouldn't happen and there needs to be regulation on that. But then they also said it's kind of already happening. There's websites all over the place, YouTube videos. There's all kinds of things that are AI generated. It's not even like maliciously creating false news. It will just make stuff up. Yeah, a couple of congressmen were kind of surprised at how eager Altman and Marcus were for legislation and regulation on AI. And they asked a couple times, like, why are you, like, usually industries want Congress to stay out of legislation, like, leave us alone, let us do our thing. But these guys are like, no, look, you need to get in on this now, because this can really have long lasting effects and be a really bad thing. And the committee seemed a little almost suspicious of why they wanted regulation. I can see why. On top of like the global regulation, Altman and Marcus both brought up the idea of licensing for AI, but they were very specific to say, look, if it's licensed and regulated, if there's a department created just to do this, it's got to be done in a way that the bigger players like OpenAI and Microsoft and Google, IBM, they've got more resources and they've got the money to throw into this, and they're going to be making bigger and bigger and bigger things. The regulations need to be able to scale up. So if you're doing research or you're doing open source or you're doing something on a small scale, that this regulation that's going to be focused on these larger companies isn't hindering innovation. Really interesting. Also, that there should possibly be, how do they word it? Not a constitution. Well, I guess it's kind of a constitution, but values need to be written into the AI. And this is very, like, you see this a lot in movies where there's the laws of the AI, like, do no harm and all this stuff. And that should be legally, it should be in the AI. Interesting phrase that was used was counterfeit people. And this is, again, this is Marcus. He brought up a lot of really good points. AI can imitate people to the point where it doesn't have to be someone famous. It can just act like a random person and interact with people, and they're not real. And that can lead to some really big, big problems. They also brought up the idea of a moratorium on development. And I think Marcus was involved in this. He kind of sponsored this idea that there should be a 6-month moratorium on development of certain aspects of AI. He kind of cleared it up and he said, look, I don't necessarily mean they should stop. I want to support this idea to show that something needs to be done to make sure this is all going on the up and up. And they all kind of agreed to the point that if Congress went to OpenAI and said, look, you got to pause everything for 6 months until we can come up with a plan. That's great. OpenAI would pause for 6 months, but there's other countries, there's other people who don't care about some of the things that AI could do that would keep developing that. And the general consensus was, if we're going to do it, we got to do it in a way where we're taking the lead on this as a country and then come up with the ideas that are going to benefit the most people and then try to get that to be the standard in the world. Something I didn't know, AI can hallucinate. How about that? They mentioned, I forget what it was called, Sydney maybe? Microsoft launched a AI in the beginning of the year. They put it out there, people were talking to it, and it started what they called hallucinating. It was just making stuff up. What the problem was with that, though, is Microsoft did not take it down. They just let it go, and that caused some problems. Another congressional hearing I've watched where Congress makes several strong points about corporate America having too much power. You think they'd be the ones to be able to do something about that? In the beginning, Marcus did throw some jabs at OpenAI and her team up with Microsoft about how he believed that their initial intentions were good, but now that they're teamed up with Microsoft, who knows? He also made the point that one of the senators had said something about, you know, well, we can't put the genie back in the bottle. AI is out there, so we've got to be able to try to keep up with it. And Marcus said, well, yeah, the genie's out of the bottle, but there's more genies and more bottles that we got to keep an eye on. And basically the summary that they gave at the end was, you know, these are things that we brought up so far that AI can be responsible for: loss of jobs, invasion of privacy, manipulation of personal behavior, manipulation of opinion, and degradation of free elections. And they're like, this, we need to get on this. Like, there's some really not good things that could come of that. So it was a very interesting 3 hours, and it put a spotlight, not so much on the AI that we have now, but on what is upcoming as it grows, as it gets more human-like, and how do we deal with that? It can be a great thing. I look at it from a business standpoint for Hemlock Mountain Outdoors, and I'm a sole employee. There's no one else that works for me. So I'm responsible for everything, marketing and, you know, social media and emails and contact and all this stuff. And with a little more improvement on AI, a lot of that could be taken out of my hands. I'd still have control over it, but I could then just tell the AI, hey, this is what I want to do this week with advertising. This is what I want to do this week with social media. Hit enter and let it, you know, generate some stuff and get my approval for it and send it out. And it can do that while I'm doing other things. There are things that make that great, you know. But of course, there's also people who are going to look at it as, how can I imitate someone who can make me money? How can I use this to scam somebody? Like, it's bad enough that we've got robocalls and, you know, these scammers trying to imitate the IRS and bank companies and your car warranty and all this stuff. With AI, that could get exponentially worse. I think we're a long, long way off from something like Skynet. I hope we're a long way off from something like Skynet. I guess it depends on what some of the private sector businesses have that they're not talking about. I guess it could happen. There could be military applications that they already have that it could happen. Sure, something like that could happen. as it stands right now, things like ChatGPT aren't going to take over the world. Use it. Ask it some questions. I'm telling you right now, it's not taking over the world. There's some AI-powered humanoid robots. What's the one called? Amica? She's got like a bluish skin. It has like a bluish skin. And they've worked a lot on its movement. And it's kind of got, it's a little bit better than Uncanny Valley. And Uncanny Valley is when you, like, you see someone wearing a mask, and it's maybe it's a pretty good fitting mask, but you look at them and you just know something's not right. It's just robotic enough looking that you know it's not a real person, but it's just realistic enough looking that it's a little creepy. And its eye movements, when you ask it a question, it looks off the side, and it has a lot of fine motor control in its head and its shoulders and around its face and its expression areas, where it's really close to being human. It's a little weird when it smiles, but it's really close to being human. But the AI is still like ChatGPT inside. So yeah, it can answer some questions, and you can program it to know its name, and it can answer your questions, and it can mimic certain things, but this robot's not going to take over the world. Now, the robots that are a little scary are those General Dynamics or Boston Dynamics robots, like the dogs and the stuff like that. They're running around. I don't know what the AI is in those. They're a little creepy. I did see, now that I've been researching AI stuff is popping up all over the place on my phone, and I saw a ad for a robotic dog. Can't imagine going hiking with a robotic dog. That'd be weird. Look cool. And it didn't look like a dog. It looked like one of the Boston Dynamics kind of robotic dogs. It did look neat, though. But I don't think I'll be buying one. I don't think AI is going to take over anytime soon. I could be wrong. And that's usually why our local store has one of those AI robots that kind of rolls around and looks for spills and stuff on the floors. And I always say hi to it just in case. If it ever comes alive, I want to be on its good side. So what do you guys think about AI? What do you think about the possibilities of what AI could do, both good and bad? There's massive upsides and there's massive downsides. It could, if it's trained right and it's got the right values, if they program the right values and it's got the right information and it can make, it knows to not just make things up, because that is a problem with the current versions of it. It could help doctors with faster diagnosis. It can work as a counselor. It can work as, I'm not saying that you should do this stuff now, but I'm saying it could. So I hope you guys enjoyed this episode of AI Inception. I did not have it write a close. Probably should, so I have a close for the season. Hope you guys enjoyed it, though. A little bit different. The AI interview was way more complicated to do than I expected it to be when I started, but hey, it's over with now. For right now, that's going to do it for episode 503. Thank you so much for listening. I really do appreciate it. Again, you can find the podcast. I mean, if you made it this far, you obviously already found it, but if you're looking for another way to listen to it or watch it, you can watch it on YouTube. You can listen to it on YouTube Music. You can listen on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Podcast Addict, and on the RSS feed, so you can put it into any player that you want. That's going to do it for episode 503. See ya.